Welcome back to Going Over, presented by Midwest Members Credit Union. Live from the Archview Flooring Studios with Roderick and Flo on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
That was, that's what it felt like last night. What was this? This was 85. Yeah. That's what I felt like. I really did feel like it was 1985 last night when we were out, as I'm at the bar and Ric Flair's there and Jack Clark is also there. It really felt like it was 1985 there at the bar last night. And then I guess you go a few more years, New Kids on the Block and Boys to Men also in town as well. Welcome back in. It's Going Over. On 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. It's a busy day here in St. Louis. It's wrestling day here in St. Louis as we are here till 12. Money in the Bank tonight starts at Scott Trade at 6:30. But from 2 to 4, it's the main event right in the middle of the card. It is the podcast Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, and both those guys join us right now at the kitchen sink. Gentlemen, thank you for coming on by.
Well, thank you for having us, man. We're excited to be here in St. Louis, and we're excited to bring our live show right here to St. Louis over the South Broadway Athletic Club.
I was talking to Conrad a little bit about it last night, and you know, he did the stuff with Ric Flair before he started with you. So this was your first venture into the kind of podcast, your second venture, really, right into the podcast business.
Technically second, yeah. But my real first, you know, foray getting into it seriously. So it's all Conrad's fault.
You had no clue it was going to blow up to something like this, did you?
Zero, none, no desire to do it. Had no clue that it would take off the way that it did.
But, Conrad, you knew he had the stories. You just had to get the stories out of him.
That's right. I knew he had the stories, and I knew if we could get his story out there, people would dig it. I mean, the target audience is me. I'm a wrestling fan, and I was fascinated whenever he would spin his yarn. And now he gets to do it for hundreds of thousands of people a week.
How'd you guys get hooked up?
When blackpeoplemeet.com.
Okay.
Seriously, it was Grindr. No,
Grindr.
we met through the Nature Boy Ric Flair. You know, when you become friends,
same
with
difference.
Rick, you meet everybody. Yeah, exactly.
Grindr,
Ric Flair, same thing.
Now, so Conrad, you know you. I know you talk about it plenty on the podcast. You were a little Hulkamaniac growing up. So, what did you think of Brother Love growing up? Because that was who Bruce Pritchard first came on our TV as.
I mean, I hated Brother Love. He did his job. I mean, he knew how to get over and make people hate him then, and he knows how to get over and make me hate him every Friday.
By the way, I meant to do this as soon as I met you, Bruce, but thank you so much for giving us The Undertaker. Oh. Thank you so much for that. That's mine. I'm an
Joe's
Undertaker
deal.
Guy.
That's Joe's deal.
I am too.
I will. So, Andy,
tell
you were there.
No, I wasn't there.
You weren't there for this. 29th birthday on WrestleMania 30. I know you weren't there. I know you didn't write that stuff.
Nope.
For that.
Well, write? Go ahead.
And I have a bunch of people over at the house. I'm sitting there, birthday, you know, got all my friends over, and I'm sitting there, you know, watching it, and the hand hits the mat for the third time. Brock Lesnar beats him. I didn't say a word for like 20 minutes. I'm well aware. I get it. I know it's written. I know it's scripted. I sat there for 20 minutes and didn't say a damn word.
Rumor had it that he kicked everybody out of his house, too.
I told everyone to leave. Nobody left, but I told everyone they had to leave. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a mistake at first, but you know what? I guess every good thing has to come to an end.
Right. Yeah.
Not crazy about it, but hey.
Yeah. No, Grove, our producer back at the studio, he was there. He says this story. He tells everyone I kicked them out. Nobody listened, but I still kicked them out. Did you ever have a moment like that, Conrad?
Yeah, you know, I was actually at the arena for that one, and everybody in the arena thought that they had messed up. you know, they were looking for them to restart the match. They thought maybe, you know, Taker had been, you know, rendered unconscious and wasn't able to kick out, and the ref was like, well, I have to count it.
Right.
So we kept waiting for them to restart the match or there to be some sort of shenanigans to keep it going. And then when they started playing music, we all looked around in amazement like, what did we just see? What happened?
What was the Bruce and backstage for that? So, I mean, for all of these, for moments like these, what was the hardest decision you had to make backstage as a producer, as a writer, to make a decision like this?
You know, it's a lot of deliberation, but it's also simply you have to look at where you're going and what the right thing to do is at the right time. And if you've got two icons, you've got a Brock Lesnar and you have an Undertaker, and you look at which one is going to be there for the next 10 years. And I can hear Undertaker right now saying, not me, not it. You know, I'm going to come in and do a WrestleMania gig, and that's it. And Brock saying, yeah, I'll do a few shots a year. So it's an opportunity to make somebody, and I can also see the respect factor from Undertaker's point of view to say, hey, Brock Lesnar's the guy to do it, right guy to do it.
Yeah, that one, man, that was hard to take. And God, even talking about it now, Andy, I'm not happy about it.
I can tell. I can see it.
You want us to get out?
Not happy. No, yeah,
you guys
are
throw
fine.
Us out.
Yeah, you guys
didn't
are
even
fine.
Have the chicken and waffles yet.
If you would have been there and written the stuff for it, it probably would have been a different thing. Probably would have been. So who would have been? I mean, would that have been just a Vince call for that, or would that have been Undertaker having a say in that, or who would have come up with the idea?
Most likely Vince probably would have. Vince came up with that idea every year. It's just it was a matter of us talking him out of whoever the hell it was not to break the streak.
Whoa. Who was the most ridiculous name suggested to break the streak? We haven't really talked about this before.
No, you guys have only done two years
of
Undertaker?
Yeah, we did 93, 94 of Undertaker. Yeah. We've got a dozen more to come.
Oh, God, yeah.
But let's go ahead and give a spoiler now. Who was the most ridiculous name suggested to beat The Undertaker?
Probably Mark Henry at the time.
Can you imagine if Mark Henry would have broken the streak?
No, that's not okay.
That's what I do!
By the way, we have had – I'm trying to think of all the wrestlers that we have had on the show over the years. I mean, the WWE has been so kind to us, giving us – interviews and bringing guys in studio. Yesterday we aired an interview with Jinder Mahal, and that was, I mean, he was great. Then Mark Henry has been the best interview that we have ever done. And for some reason, they didn't put a time limit on him either. For everybody else, they're like, hey, you got 10 minutes. And they'll come on at 9 minutes, and they'll interrupt the interview and go, hey, 1 minute left, like live on the air. They come in and do that. Mark Henry, they just didn't care. They were just like, yeah, there's Mark Henry, go.
Well, Mark Henry loves the business. I've had 30-minute conversations with Mark Henry about Bobo Brazil, and there's not a lot of guys in the locker room today who can do that. I mean, he grew up a wrestling fan, really likes to study the business. He gets it. He's one of the more underrated guys.
You can, and you talk to all these guys off the air. You're not recording interviews with them to play to people. So, Bruce, I feel like you could probably talk to this. I mean, the mindset of these guys backstage, because somebody like a Dolph Ziggler, I have had him on twice. And I got two different Dolph Zigglers. I think one time, I think he was pissed at the business. He was upset about where he was. And he was, you know, very candid about his comments, about wanting the push, about things he could do, and talked as if everybody knew it was scripted. Then the next time I have him on, it was after Sting made his debut. And I asked him a question. I think it was, you know, what's it like? You know, you're in the middle. I think at the time he's knocked out in the middle of the ring. And I asked him, like, hey, what's that like knowing that you're in the ring when Sting debuts in the WWE? And he's like, well, I was knocked out. I don't remember any of it. And I'm like, oh, you're not going to.
I think different situations, different circumstances are going to call for, you know, different reactions, and it really does depend on the guy. And
right.
Like you said, what frame of mind they're in at the time and whether or not they have a grievance and they want to get something off their chest or not.
Yeah, and it just when he said that, it's just you kind of see if they're going to play ball, which way they're going to play ball, one way or the other. And then when you get an answer like that, you're like, oh, God.
Well, he was knocked out. I mean, what do you expect?
So, coming into this, was there a topic that, Conrad, was there a topic that you really wanted to have Bruce talk about? And, Bruce, was there a topic that you were looking forward to getting into that you thought there was a really good story to tell behind it?
Well, I think that the biggest one that we always use as an example is Houston Wrestling was one that was very dear to me because it was my history and it was my story that I wanted to tell. Conrad didn't think anybody would care. Nobody wanted to hear that. It lost every poll it was on.
Right.
It was on
a
poll.
So I was right, for the record.
It was on a poll.
People didn't want to hear it.
Okay, but hang on. It was on a poll with just one other topic and lost by
1%. It lost to No Holds Barred.
However, it did.
The worst wrestling movie ever.
I haven't listened to that episode yet.
But it did 3 times the downloads of No Holds Barred.
Word of mouth, man.
So,
people don't know what they want.
It's that's the funny part about it. Like he said, he goes, people don't always understand that sometimes the best stories are in the
It's not a popularity contest, you know. The best content isn't always necessarily your favorite thing.
Yeah. But I think the one that kind of put us on the map, if you will, and kind of got us over that hump was the Radicals story, which is the story that I originally told Conrad in his living room where he said, oh, hey, this ought to be a podcast.
Yeah. And I think that was one, Conrad, the first time we had you on the show, I went back and I listened to that one immediately after that. And I know this week I'll be listening to, as you mentioned yesterday, the steroid trial one. That's one I haven't listened. I think that one, No Holds Barred, I want to say Rick Rude, I haven't listened to yet either. Because for some of these, for me, I'm 32. I really didn't start watching wrestling till WrestleMania 13. I was so happy when you guys did that one because that was the first one I would have been, I guess I would have been, 12, 13 years old when that one came out. And buddy down the street gets it on VHS the week after it happened. I know you've talked about tape trading.
Absolutely.
And everything. He gets it on VHS. I lived in Chicago at the time, and he's like, hey, this just happened in Chicago. Let's watch it. I'm like, wow, who's that guy winning the belt in the main event? I like him, and it's cool. But Andy, you went back way in the day. Like I mentioned, I guess Sergeant Slaughter, I just missed him last night. And Andy, you were saying that was your favorite guy back in the day.
10-year-old me would have kicked my ass for missing Sergeant Slaughter. those are my favorites. I mean, but I remember watching when the idea of the WrestleMania first even came up. You know, they started advertising this WrestleMania, and we're like, and, you know, me and my brother and our little buddies around the subdivision, we're like, what is this going to be? And of course, we conned our parents into getting it, and it was incredible. And I know you guys have covered this on your podcast, but just for our listeners, tell us a little bit about how that all came to fruition.
Well, at the time, it was simply an idea that Vince had to be able to mix Hollywood and wrestling together. They had Mr. T, who was famous at that time from the A-Team. And then he took, you know, Muhammad Ali, Billy Martin, good God, Liberace. It was kind of the who's who of the entertainment industry. Made them a part of this spectacle so that it would be larger than life and promote it worldwide. And it was an interesting thing that they did on the very first WrestleMania was they said, WrestleMania on Sunday, whatever the date was, 1 o'clock. Across the board. So if you were in a central time zone or Pacific or Mountain, your start time was 1 o'clock. The promotion was exactly the same everywhere, and they were tape delaying it all across the country so that no matter what you did, it was 1 o'clock, WrestleMania 1 o'clock on Saturday, and it was an ingenious promotion. Didn't work in Texas, but it was...
Now, of course, you know, the trophy moment of my childhood was WrestleMania 3, Pontiac Silverdome,
right.
April 29th, 1987.
Hulk March Hogan. 29th.
March 29th.
March 29th.
Yeah, March 29th, 1987. And Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant.
He does Bruce does a hell of an Andre the Giant impression. So we were talking about, Andy, okay, so here, Conrad, we were talking about this. Andy loves doing impressions.
Oh, this is going to be a fun.
They're
show.
Not great.
They're not great.
But he loves doing impressions. And Bruce, that's kind of what has made the popularity of the show. I think one of those are the commercials that you guys do and the impressions that you do. So, Andy, who's some of your you?
Well, let me tell you something, brother.
You see, you have the Hulk Hogan one.
And who was that?
You've recently started doing a Donald Trump impression.
I know a lot about wrestling. It's great. I owned WWE for about 2 minutes.
And
huge.
Huge.
And now, Bruce, I'm wearing the Macho Man shirt, so, like, can we get a conversation between Donald Trump and, like, the Macho Man?
Macho Man, how you doing today?
Freak out, uh-huh, yeah.
Ooh, do you need another cup of coffee? I got, hey, Laura, can I get some coffee for Macho Man? He needs some coffee. It's terrific.
Ain't got time for a cup of coffee today.
That's good.
Freak out, dig it, uh-huh.
In the distance over there, is that the American Dream? Dusty Rhodes?
Baby, yes, of course that is the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Who the fuck? Oh, wait a minute, I almost slipped. For a minute, Virgil almost came out a little bit and said a nasty word, but we ain't going to do that. We're just going to get a little funky like a monkey, if you will, baby. Live and in living color right here in St. Louis.
Now, he was talking about, you know, WrestleMania 3. What would that – if Andre – you're going to Andre and you're telling him that Hulk Hogan's going to pick him up and body slam him. I can't imagine Andre is, you know, thinking that's even possible.
No bumps. Not tonight, boss.
And that's when was the first impression that he did, or when did that first come out?
Probably within the first week of knowing Bruce, he broke out Dusty and Jim Cornette. And Cornette, of course, we can't do on the radio.
But, no.
Why the hell can't we do it on the radio? I don't have to say those nasty words. You son of a. Hey, what the. I'll kill you.
When you order a sandwich later here at the kitchen sink, what will your order be, Mr. Cornette?
They got cheeseburgers. I want double cheese, double mayo, extra onion, you mother.
Kitchen sink. Another kitchen sink. There you go.
Oh, my God. Extra mayo. Double cheese.
You don't even have to know that he's doing Jim Cornette, and that's still funny.
Like, it is.
My parents have heard that. They don't know who Jim Cornette is, and they think that's hilarious.
Shut up.
That's just funny.
God. And these are commercials that you listen to. It's almost like when Doug does a live read in the morning.
Yeah.
He doesn't even do impressions. It's just him and the way he kind of works it in. When they do commercials on the Pritchard Show, I really think that that's something you just have to tune in to hear some of those. With that, which I don't think you even expected that to take off the way it has.
Well, I'm an advertiser because I own a mortgage company, and so I know that, you know, sometimes even like when you're doing this show, a lot of times people will say, well, hey, they're in a commercial. Let me, you know, go to P2. Let me go to another station. And I didn't want them to do that. I didn't want them to hit the fast forward button or skip over it. So if I can find a way to make it entertaining, people will listen. It'll get a better return for our advertiser. They'll keep spending money. The show can grow.
It really is. I'm going to find a spot here, one of my sponsors, and I'm going to see if I can get Bruce to who's the best. Who does the best live reads, Conrad?
Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes does the spokesman
needs.
Does the best. So I'm going to bring up a spot here for, where is it? Where is, I need to find Liquid Spirits.
One of my all-time favorite, that Liquid Spirits, baby.
Hypothetically, if you needed to save money on your mortgage, American Dream, where would you go?
Baby, that's so simple. You just go to savewithbruce.com every time. And it don't matter what your credit score is at all, baby, because bad credit, no credit, we can get you the mortgage that you need, baby, at savewithbruce.com. You could even skip two house payments, baby. Did you know that?
Is that a rib?
That ain't no rib, baby, no. We ain't ribbing him.
So I'm going to find this. We'll get this at the end. But
that's okay. We just did savewithbruce.com. That's a damn good sponsor, baby.
Girl, I hope you're rolling tape on this.
Lindsay, you got a mortgage? You got a mortgage.
I do.
You got debt? You got car debt, you got credit card debt. You roll all that shiz in the one little loan over at savewithbruce.com. You go over there. I got my boy. He laughing right here. He can take care of you.
Now, when you were on the morning after, Bruce, a few months ago, you got to talk to a gentleman by the name of Larry Nichols. So I'm showing you Larry here. He's a 40
personal dear friend, Larry Nichols.
Yeah, he's about 42, 43 years old.
Just turned 43 years old.
He actually just graduated from Lewis and Clark Community College, and he is our wrestling insider here on 590 The Fan. So we had to give away ringside tickets the other day, 2 weeks ago. We gave away ringside tickets, and we thought, how can we incorporate Larry into this? How can we have him help us give away these tickets? So what we did was we found wrestling themes, entrance music that had lyrics to them. And Larry stood up there, and he read the lyrics to, like, Edge.
for example. He read the lyrics to Edge's entrance, and people had to guess who, what wrestler it was.
You think you know me?
Yeah, it was that on this day, like it's Larry getting up there and saying, "On this day, I see clearly," and you know, doing that. We left out the "you think you know." I thought that would be a giveaway. So one of them, because of your show, and Grove, I know we have the audio of Larry reading it. We had this. We had Larry read this one.
Spend my day working hard on the go, but the hands on the clock keep spinning so slow, because I can't wait to be alone with my baby tonight.
Isn't this Otis Redding? Wasn't that Otis Redding?
So, yeah, we had Larry, we had Larry do that. Nobody got it.
That's because you have to do it a certain, you have to get the, spend my days working hard on the go, with the hands on the clock, keep spinning too slow. I can't wait to be alone with my baby tonight. Then they would get it.
That's the best part. Right at the end, that's the best part.
That's the best. Absolutely.
And who
loved it.
Who did you guys have in Baltimore read it?
Nikolai Volkov. He came out and did the Russian national anthem. Bruce, give him a little bit of the Russian national anthem.
La de la de da, eat my crotch, la de da de da, scrape my crotch, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
Right in the middle there, he says, eat my crotch.
That's what I heard.
No, it's Russian.
What is Russian? What is "eat my crotch" translated into English?
I love the Republic of Russia. I'm pretty sure translated in my Russian class back at J. Frank Dopey High. Yeah.
Jeez.
Nobody else here study Russian?
Well, hang on.
No.
You went to a school named Dopey?
Dopey.
Oh.
J. Frank Dopey.
For the purposes of my story,
J. Frank Dopey High. Hook 'em horns. Dun, 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 dun,
the white brother Love used to get down in the 80s. He went to Dopey High School. That's amazing.
You know.
What is a what's a topic, Conrad, that you really want to talk about in the near future? What are you hoping wins in a poll? Is there something that you are looking forward to talking about?
Jeff Jarrett in the WWF, I think, would be really good. I think because there's so many fun stories about not just the first run, but when he walked out of the first run. And then the second run, holding up for money, the whole Austin rumor and innuendo. There's lots of good stuff in there about Jeff Jarrett. And I think China is something we've had on the poll, and she should have won. I don't know why people weren't into her story,
yeah.
But I think you can't tell that story without talking about the end and the way the whole Triple H, Stephanie McMahon deal came together. Those would be two blockbusters, but they just won't win the poll.
Bruce, is there a topic that you are especially looking forward
to? Yes, Katie Vick, damn it.
We have put Katie Vick on the poll so many times.
I honestly can't believe it hasn't won. Just because of
either.
How twisted and effed up that whole thing was, I can't believe it hasn't won.
And the true story behind it, no one would believe. No one would really believe that how much thought and preparation went into it, and how in a matter of hours it all just got flushed down the toilet.
Oh, and WrestleMania 14. If and when we get to tape a show in WrestleMania 14, it'll set a record for us.
Really?
Bruce has told me some, like, what really happened before we were even talking about a podcast. And now it's like, oh, when we get this out there, the internet will melt down.
There are so many. There's the one, and you weren't there for it. So, and because I've gone and I've looked, like, when I started listening to the podcast, and then, you know, the whole, what was it, WrestleMania? What was Hogan Sid?
WrestleMania 8.
Yeah, and you weren't there for that. You came just after that. So, you know, that was one of the first ones that I watched after 13, went back and, you know, got a VHS of WrestleMania 8, and I remember watching that. Reba McEntire's 15-minute national anthem to kick that one off. The one that I really wish that you would have been there for just to hear the stories about was the rise and quick fall of Nexus. And
yeah,
that's one of those.
Got that. That was, you know, you look at it from the surface, from an outsider looking in and strictly looking at it as an audience member. I thought it was intriguing as hell, and there was so much there that they could have done.
Yeah, because I couldn't tell you how many times I've gone to your Wikipedia page to look at your employment history and look at what years. It's like, okay.
see where I was fired and when.
Yeah, it's like, okay, he was there for that. What year did this happen? Damn. Not going to happen.
You know, there's a chance that we'll have Ryback do a show with us one day, and we'll hear more about Nexus, at least from his perspective.
Yeah. That's one I haven't, like, I've never listened to his show either. Is it guests, or does he do?
It's no guests. It's just him and his good friend Pat Buck, and they just talk about his time in the WWE, his time on the indies now, and he does not
care.
He does not care.
Care.
He's just letting it fly. He's burying John Cena and Triple H and Vince McMahon.
Wow.
And everything that you should not do if you want to go back, I guess. But that probably means he'll headline WrestleMania soon.
I was gonna say he's not doing. Is he just doing indie stuff?
Yeah, he's just doing indie stuff. But he's making great money. He's in control of his own schedule. Obviously, when you're an independent contractor like that, you know, you kind of get to negotiate the finish, too. So not only does he have a better schedule, he's probably got more money and creative control. It's a good way of life for now.
I mean, if only there was, Conrad, if you knew a guy that was kind of running another wrestling organization that could, you know, maybe hire Ryback to do something.
I don't.
Right.
yeah, I don't either. Who's that?
Because, Bruce, you're with Impact Wrestling now. And I got to say, I've started watching Impact Wrestling because they hired you to work.
It's working. It's working.
See that?
I have actually turned it on when I heard you were coming back. I've turned it on. I've gone, okay, who's on their roster now?
Me? Well, I'm there. You know what? They actually got some. I think they've got some pretty good talent.
I think so too.
With EC3 and Eli Drake and Alberto El Patron and Bobby Lashley. They really have some great talent there.
And what's EC3's? What's his entrance sound
there
like?
There we go. That's what I wanted.
God, the worst entrance music in the history of the Trouble, Trouble, Trouble. Trouble, Trouble, Trouble. Trouble, Trouble, Trouble. Trouble, trouble, trouble.
It sounds like you're about to start selling trash bags.
Trouble, trouble, trouble.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
Right?
Trouble, trouble, trouble.
Yeah.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
Trouble, trouble, trouble.
Hefty,
trouble,
hefty.
Trouble, trouble.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
Trouble, trouble, trouble. Yeah. God damn, we might have something here.
I'll take 13% of that commission.
Can you imagine EC3 in the commercial? I'm here to take out the trash. Trouble, trouble,
if your
trouble.
Trash is giving you trouble, 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 then you need hefty, hefty, hefty.
Yeah, that could work.
I like it.
This is going to happen now.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of what TNA is doing now. They're trying to hit the reset button. I like the stuff they're doing with Sanjay Dutt. Him having his big moment in India I thought was a cool deal. I'm a big fan of Loki. Obviously, EC3 is doing awesome stuff. I know there's a lot of people who have kind of soured on TNA over the years, but I feel like this is the biggest reset button they've had in a long, long time.
Yeah, and it really is truly a chance for them to rebuild, and they've got to get through. It's going to take a little bit of time, as it does any time you rebuild something. So, give them a chance and help them out. I'm strictly there as a talent, but also, you know, kind of consulting a little bit. Mm-hmm. If they ask me a question, as you guys have seen, Conrad knows, I'm not shy to give an answer.
Now, I've heard you mention many times on the podcast that when you're number one, you don't mention number two, but when you're number two, you always mention number one. So when's that going to start?
Who knows? Who really knows? Of course, as you notice, we don't mention a lot of people.
I can't wait to see you ride into WrestleMania on a tank for Impact or something like that.
I like it.
That'd be fun.
I like it.
That would, yeah, I think that would work. Next time they're
just in Florida, take over the Performance Center. Take
right.
over NXT.
Using Metallica 1 as the entrance music.
I like it.
We could do that.
That'd be
New Orleans.
Awesome.
You never know.
That would be incredible.
But you gotta check with the local law enforcement. You cannot go into the building.
I do mortgages, brother. I'll be at home.
You're not going to be a part of this?
No.
Do you have Do you have any aspirations to get on screen or be a if they were to go to Bruce and they were to say, listen, you know, we're getting a lot of ratings with you. Now we want to bring your co-host in to do something as well.
No. No, I don't even like being here right now. Not doing that. I got a flat tire 20 miles outside of Paducah, Kentucky.
Not in Paducah.
20 miles outside.
Outside of Paducah.
What's 20 miles outside of Paducah?
That's exactly.
That's
Patty's 1860 settlement is 20 miles outside of Paducah.
That's actually exactly where it is.
Yeah. No, I know. I've made that drive a million times.
And so they had to tow my car 220 miles home. Because it turns out in Paducah, they don't have a 245, 35, 21-inch run flat tire made by Pirelli P0. So,
hey, that's aftermarket, Mr. Thompson, sir.
No, it's BMW factory equipment. And I had
It's the wheels, sir. That's aftermarket.
So now I had to get a rental car, and I have to drop it off here. And now I'm going to fly home right after our live show today. Tickets available at notarib.com. And this is the most – and like 2 weeks ago, I had to sleep in a Denny's parking lot because I stayed drinking with Dave Silva, the guy who does our graphics, until 4 in the morning. So we go to check in, and they said, well, we didn't think you guys were coming. We gave your room away. So I wake up in a Denny's parking lot, and he's like, we're going to stay here. No, we're not. So drunken at 5:30, 6 a.m. in the morning, we drive 47 miles to the nearest hotel with a vacancy. So, yeah, I'm not loving life on the road. I am not joining the professional wrestling circus.
Well, all you got to do is go down to Orlando for that. I mean, they're not traveling.
Yeah. I'm not.
You
want to
talk about
this.
Your Orlando trip?
No. It was even worse. I was delayed 13 hours coming home. It's brutal. This is my last live show. Tickets available now, notarib.com.
Have you been getting the chance to get into the ring, like go off the ropes and stuff?
No.
Why? I mean, that's what I want to do. I just want to get in the ring and run off the ropes and just...
It hurts.
I want to feel that. I want to take... I want someone... You know, I will have someone pick me up and throw me down. I want to feel that.
I want to throw Joe into a turnbuckle because he's such an a-hole sometimes. I just want to beat him into submission.
When we go to break, Bruce and I will take you guys out back, kick you in the balls, and we'll call it even.
I just want to see what that's like. I want to get that feeling and see what that's like being in the ring.
Okay, he will kick you in your testicles.
I'm talking about going off the ropes. That has nothing to do with my testicles.
Would you do top rope?
Let's just go through one of these tables here.
Yeah.
Would you want to jump top rope? I'll let you jump off the top rope onto me.
The one thing I don't get, and how the hell does Finn Balor not hurt people with the coup de grace?
He does.
Yeah, that's it. Doesn't look like he ever. It doesn't look like that's it. I mean, it looks like they both take it so well, him and the opponent, that they're.
Try it on you. I bet it hurts.
Yeah, and the difference is, I think that back in the old days, we tried to do things that looked like they hurt like hell, but they didn't. And nowadays, their stuff looks like crap and it hurts like hell. But
I'm not saying that his looks like crap, but I'm saying it probably hurts like
hell. I was about to say, this is going to be the second podcast.
Second time that
I've
buried Finn Balor. I like Finn Balor. I'm not burying Finn Balor. No, not at all.
All right, we do need to take a break. I'll let you guys go eat. You got the El Clasico. Good choice there.
And chicken
you
got and waffles.
The chicken and waffles. Yep. Again, another good choice. We are at the kitchen sink. Bruce Pritchard, Conrad Thompson here on Going Over.